Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
World history has been dominated by the rise and fall of great kingdoms. Egypt, Assyria, Persia, Greece, Rome, the Ottoman Empire, the British Empire, the Soviet Union's empire. During the Cold War, there were two superpowers that were vying for the prestige of the world. And at the end of it, only one emerged. The United States of America was the only superpower left. But who would be next? Who will be next? Will it be China? Latin America? Will it be India? Will somehow the European Union rise up again, as it says in the Bible? Who will be next to be the great superpower? As there are superpowers in the earth, there are superpowers in the spiritual realm as well. As a matter of fact, every man that's ever lived, every woman that's ever lived, every boy or girl that has ever lived has been under the reign of one of these two superpowers. Does not matter whether you were born in the kingdom of Saudi Arabia, or in the United Kingdom, or the United States, or Latin America, or wherever you were born under this ultimate power. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 5:21 that there are two possible masters that we may belong to. He says, just as sin reigned in death, so also grace may reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Today, we need to ask God to make us wise as serpents and harmless as doves, so that we may submit to the right power. Let us go before Him now in prayer. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, we thank You and praise You, for You have come to set us free. You've come to liberate us. You are the great I Am, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. In You there is all that is in this world. All the good that we see comes from You. Every good and perfect thing we have, we owe to You. May You today be glorified in what we say, what we think, what we do here. Cast out my words. My words are nothing, as You well know. Put a burning coal on my tongue that I may speak the words that You would have us hear. Words of life and death, of suffering and of loss, of victory and of gain. May we hear Your words today, Father, casting my words out, the thoughts, confusion that is in this room now. Father, we ask that You alone would be heard today by every heart. The team turns us on through the television or on the internet or is here in this room. Father, may each of us bow before You today and You alone. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let us read Romans 5. 21. so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Sin is in control. That's what Paul says when he says that sin reigned. It is not a choice, it is a power. It is a power word, reigned. Sin reigned through death. For the wages of sin are death. Each of us has been under that master before we came to know the Lord. Each of us. Let us suppose for a minute, with an analogy, that I won the lottery. I know you're going to tell me you have to get a ticket in order to win the lottery. But let's just imagine that I won the big lottery. I got $500 million. I like to imagine that. And that I decided to take everyone that was a part of this church on the holiday of a lifetime. You're all going to get to go with me to Maui or Pango Pango, someplace wonderful. And so we don't have time to charter an airplane, and the only planes that are flying have limited tickets, and so we buy all the tickets. We buy up all the tickets. We pay for everything that you're going to have as an expense. It's an all-paid vacation. You're going to get to go to Pango Pango or to Maui or wherever. And we're up in the airplane, and the airplane has got tickets, but they only have some in first class and some in business class and great many in economy. And they say, well, these are the only tickets we have. And we work that out among us, who's going to be in first class, who's going to be in business class, who's going to sit economy. It's okay. We're all on our way to Biscayne Bay. Everything is perfect. And we get up in the air and we're flying above the weather systems, 32,000 feet. And suddenly, the cab is filled with smoke. There's smoke in first class and in business class and in economy. There's smoke everywhere. And out of the smoke, these three men, one in first class, one in business, one in economy, come talking to us with gas masks on. And they inform us that we've been hijacked. We're not going any place we wanted to go. We're going to go wherever they want us to go, and if we're not good, they're going to blow themselves up, and we're all going to enter death together. Sin is in control. We're out of control. We don't have any control. Even if we were to overcome these three men, these hijackers, we don't know how to fly the plane. We don't know how to turn it around. We don't know how to land it. We're in trouble. Let's look at it another way. Let's suppose that you were in Kuwait in the fall of 1991. You woke up in Kuwait, and you turned on the radio, and suddenly you hear on the radio that your country has been invaded. And you look out the window, and there are tanks rolling down the street, and all these Iraqi army people are coming down, and they've taken over your country. They've taken over the television and the radio and the hospitals and the police department and everything. You've been invaded. You look out the window and you realize that with these tanks, your 22 rifles not going to do anything. Not against the big guns they have. You can't do anything. You're under tyranny. The enemy has taken over. Or, I suppose that you're a reader and you read a lot of Christian literature. You've read Gulliver's Travels. Gulliver's Travels is a story about a man who goes through various things that teaches Christian lessons. He goes to a little town called Lilliput. And in this little town called Lilliput, all the people there are very, very small. They're tiny people. Men, women, and children are all very small. And in comparison, Gulliver looks like a giant. And so he walks around, he looks at Lilliput, and he gets tired, and he decides to take a sleep. So he makes sure he's not going to lie down on anybody or anything, and he goes to sleep. And while he's asleep, all these little tiny people run over him like ants at a picnic. And they just all over him, everywhere. And they're carrying these little gossamer threads. Well, it's nothing to be worried about. It's kind of like a spider's web. You knock it away anytime you want to. But there are thousands and thousands and thousands of these little threads. And they're tying Gulliver down. And as they wind these threads together, they become as strong as, well, as cards. They become like ropes. And when Gulliver awakens, he can't move. He can't move his fingers. He can't move anything. The little people are in control. He's no longer in control. He is captive to the little people, and his life is in their hands. Whether he ever eats again or sleeps again is in their hands. Those are three illustrations of how quickly we can lose what we call freedom. We can lose it to Satan as he invades our life. We can lose it as he hijacks us into places we don't want to go. He loses it when we are all bound in sin. We can't move. And there's only one power. One superpower great enough to set us free. Set us free when we've been hijacked. Set us free when we've been taken over by an invasion of an outside army. Help us and protect us and cut our cards when we are bound. There's only one power, and that power is grace. It is the superpower that delivers us from sin's tyranny. When we are hijacked, we're not looking for sympathy. We want the air marshals to take these hijackers out and return us where we were originally going. We are sitting in Kuwait. We're being invaded. We don't want the good wishes or encouragement from the Allies. We want them to amass a powerful invasion and throw the enemy out and set us at liberation. We don't want to remain tied up. And we don't want someone to say, "Oh, look at Gulliver. He's so sweet sleeping there." We want somebody with a knife sharp enough to cut the bounds that we have around us. That's how we are set free. Grace does it. Grace operates that way. Grace by God is the only power that can break the back of sin. Romans 5:19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Grace takes human form. God looks down at the world, which he loves, and he sends his only begotten Son, the second Adam, if you like. He sends him because the first Adam failed us. That's what Paul's talking about. One man broke God's law, and that lawlessness spread through the whole human race like a virus, like a Zika virus. It deformed us while we were yet in our mother's womb. We were not what God created any longer. But God sends a second Adam through grace, His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to be a baby in this harsh world and to live our lives with us.
Sin hardens Herod's heart, and Herod sends his soldiers out to kill every child 2 years old and younger, every male child, to wipe them out.
But grace speaks to the father of the child, to Joseph, and shows him the way to Egypt, where they're to keep the child safe. Child comes back. And then Satan has to be drawn out into the open. He's drawn out. Sin comes visible during the temptation of our Lord. And sin tries everything he can to destroy Jesus. But grace defeats him, and Satan has to retreat. And then grace steps out into the world with healing in his hands. The lame walk, the blind see, the sick recover, the dead are brought to life again. Those that have demonic spirits are cast out from them. They are set free. Whom Christ has set free is free indeed. He is our grace. He liberates us. But Satan is working in the shadows in the background. And Satan stirs up the people. The very people that grace has been healing, he stirs them up. And at that moment, as they're stirred up, they cry, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And the Justice Department doesn't see truth when it walks in their very midst. So Justice Department allows them to beat, and then for the Christ himself to carry his own cross to Calvary. And they crucify him. For 6 hours, they stand around the cross and they mock him. They give him nothing to drink when he says he's thirsty except vinegar on a sponge, which is held up on a hyssop branch. After 6 hours, Jesus says, "It is finished." He dies. They're wanting to take him down quickly because the earth is dark. And Jesus said, "This is your hour of darkness. This is when darkness reigns." And it was so. And as it came about them and the earth shook, and they took the life of the Paschal Lamb in the temple at that very moment, Jesus laid down his life and died on the cross. And so they took him down. And they put him in a tomb, the dead body in a tomb. They rolled a stone over it. They planted a guard to watch over it. And it looked for all the world as though sin and death were reigning triumphant. But on the third day, he rose again, and grace lives, and grace is triumphant. No longer is sin going to hold you down. Sin never could touch Jesus, and so it had no hold on Jesus. There was one man, that lived a sinless life. His name is Jesus. And that man had the grace of God within him because he was God. He was Emmanuel, God with us. And grace stepped forward. He sets the captive free, for no power on earth could hold him, because death couldn't hold him. Sin couldn't touch him. He was our Savior and our Lord. Jesus rose from the dead. He sets the captive free. He's not under the tyranny of sin. You can never put Jesus into tyranny. You can never hijack Jesus. You can never invade Jesus. When you're bound in your sins that are like many different little webs that are drawn together in great ropes that tie you down, Jesus has a tongue that's sharper than any two-edged sword, and He can cut you free. And He does. Grace puts you in a new position. Sin is still powerful, but Christ has come into your life, and sin can no longer reign there. You belong to Christ. Faith simply links us to Jesus and His right relationship with God, His righteousness. And so we can have joy. We can have joy this day because we have been liberated. We have been set free from the hijacking of Satan. We can say that the enemy has been driven out. We can say that our cards are cut free because Jesus has set us free. Jesus had blood like you and me. And my youngest son came home one day. He said, "I found out what kind of blood Jesus had." He told me. I said, "How did you come to that conclusion?" He said, "Because that is the universal donor. Jesus gave His life for you and me. And He gives life that each of us can receive by grace through faith in Him." Blood is powerful. It is a power word. It can wash us clean of every sin we've ever had, of every sin we've ever committed in our past, in our present, in our future. It can carry us all the way through heaven because grace is strong enough. The blood has enough life in it to do just that. Our standing before God is not based on anything we do, but what Christ did as the perfect sacrifice for us. God sent grace into our lives. God is trying to send His grace into yours today. He wants you to have the joy of the Lord. He wants you to have the peace that passes understanding. He wants you to know that you can live knowing that you belong to Him today. You belong to Him yesterday, today, and forever. There is nothing else on earth that can hold you down. You are a child of the King. And one day, it will be like winning the lottery. All bills will be paid as they were paid on the cross. All bills will be paid. You will be lifted up together. There won't be a first class, a business class, or economy class. We'll all go together. The high and mighty, the small, insignificant, shall all be raised together. And so we shall be with the Lord forevermore. God is no respecter of persons. It's nothing you did. But His grace is sufficient. His blood is sufficient to overcome the power of sin reigning in your life. Every time. We had four people accept Christ and be baptized this last week. Yesterday, as a matter of fact. They had to go a long way to find the water. They went first to Oklahoma. They found that the waters there were closed off. It was closed in Oklahoma. So they went to
Texoma, the lake, and they had a crocodile alert or something, and so they couldn't stop there. They came back, were thirsty for the water of life, and they came back and they went to Denton. And in Denton, they found there was water that they could baptize in. Jesus has given you the life that is in the water of life. He has given you the grace that He alone can give. Grace means receiving something you did not earn. That's what Christ does for us. He earned it for us by His sufferings, by His stripes. We are healed. He raises us up. He is the mighty King. He is the everything. He is our hope, our blessed hope. He is above all anthems that we sing, except when we sing, Hail King Jesus. He is above every country that has ever ruled, every empire that has ever reigned. There is no power on earth greater than God's. And it is by God's grace that we live and have our being. Will you receive that today? It may be that you've been bound in little tiny things that you thought you could get out of. You could do it on your own. You could get out of that sin. But you couldn't. You needed grace to cut the bonds of your sin and let you free. Maybe that you've been hijacked and you haven't had anyone to come and help you. The air marshals have simply sat down on the job. You need someone to take over the pilots of your life and guide you as the Holy Spirit guides us into a new relationship with God. It may be that you have awakened one day to find out that sin has invaded every part of your life, all the control centers of your life. You need someone to mount an invasion, to come into your life and drive out, cast out all the demons that are there, and set you free. You need Jesus.
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street, in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 11:05 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.